The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to episode number 168 of the Canadian Prepper Podcast. We're doing a pre-recorded episode for this Sunday since it's the Canada Day long weekend. Hope everybody enjoys this fireside chat with the casual preppers. Welcome to the Canadian Prepper Podcast. Tonight, I'll be the host. I'm Alan, safety trainer, first responder, security expert, and overall safety nerd.
Hey guys, I'm Brad, Eastern Ontario, part-time amateur prepper, constantly trying to better myself.
I'm Scott, a first responder from Ontario. I like learning things, and I don't trust our fragile infrastructure.
And tonight, we have two very special guests.
Yeah, we're Cam and Kobe, casual preppers. We podcast and we make fun of everything.
That's what I appreciate about you.
True.
If you want to help support the show, keep the Canadian Prepper Podcast on the air, buy some swag. We have both the Canadian Prepper Podcast t-shirt and the super wicked cool tactical Velcro patch, which you can see on Scott's screen right now. You can get those both at www.prepperpodcast.ca. All proceeds help keep the lights on and the backup generator fueled.
We have some casual content for your dirty little ear holes in this episode. We're going to start off with some recent news, update our personal preps, and then get into the main topic, the casual conversation with the casual preppers.
So first up in the news, I found one article that was not about gun bans, shootings, and elections, and that was that a Florida man was attacked by an alligator at a pool. And every time I see Florida man, it makes me laugh. I don't know. It doesn't say. And that's the best part is that we will never know who won.
We all win.
Our news. I don't blame you.
We have news up there of your own.
We have some messed up crap. I would use our news as well.
What's going on in the world today then, I guess, is a better question.
Yeah,
I don't know. That is a good question. Actually, we just podcasted today, and we do a segment called Mad Mad World. Mine today was about blood rain over in the Middle East. I don't know if you guys saw that.
It's not a ritual, or
so basically, they're having this huge dust storm that's just like taking out people. There's the hospitals are just plagued with people who can't breathe. A bunch of people have died, but they're getting what they call blood rain because there's so much red dust in the air from these dust storms that the rain looks like blood. And I just thought that was the coolest thing I've ever heard.
Apocalyptic.
It's like, yeah. It's like apocalyptic stigmata. That's
exactly. Totally. Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It is cool. I suppose as long as you're not the one that's in it.
I mean, it's not cool that the people are dying from this, but the blood rain part is pretty cool.
The name.
It's kind of like monkeypox, right? Like it's really cool to think of until it happens to you. Like
until you get monkeypox.
Yeah. Is there at least a cool story behind the monkeypox? Like how is it that you
probably not one you will want to know?
Yeah, is it something that we're willing to share? Because there's that whole theory that it's a sexually transmitted condition now, right? So it's it's sexually transmitted from monkeys or by monkeys or to monkeys. I don't know. I've learned just enough about it to make fun of it, and not enough to have a real opinion.
I've honestly completely ignored monkeypox. Like a bunch of people keep asking us about it.
I think I had monkeypox back in 2020.
Yeah, I mean, it's
they already had it.
From everything I can tell, it's basically shingles, and it kind of sucks. And then you take an antiviral and it goes away, or you don't, and you're just itchy for the rest of your life.
Ooh, that would be a horrible symptom.
Maybe that's what I call it, monkeypox. You're just scratching yourself, jumping around because it's unpleasant. That makes sense.
Craving bananas.
Yeah, I don't know.
Want to eat a banana?
Can't stop itching. My armpit.
Yeah, that would be crazy. Scott,
what's new in your world?
I've just been doing a whole bunch of work, getting ready for a fishing trip. We have some new house guests here, so we're excited to have them in town. So
fantastic.
Yeah.
I guess that can roll right into what we've done lately for preps. So you're preparing to leave, is that right then, Scott?
I'm preparing to leave, and we were preparing the house for house guests.
And are you preparing to come back as well? Are you just going to go on a fishing trip and it's like going for milk and you'll come back in 30 years?
Well, that's kind of my thought. Wander off into the woods with, you know, a knife in my teeth and my fishing pole over my shoulder. And, you know, when my kids graduate college, maybe I'll come and see them.
Your fur skin cap on?
Exactly.
Yeah. How about you, Brad?
I've been doing, well, I've had for a while now some home renos going on. I had kitchen cabinets put in on Saturday, and the countertops are going in on this Saturday, and then a lot of work, just go. Really, really busy time for us and in deliveries and logistics. So I've been working.
Let me guess, this was 2% your idea, 98% your wife's idea.
Nope.
The other way around?
More right about 50-50.
Wow.
That's what a healthy marriage is like.
I put a floor in and put, I've been doing a lot of house stuff and it's been heavily my wife's.
Nice, darling, if we did this too? Yeah.
This floor and this ceiling in this house looks old. Can we redo it all? No. And I end up doing it all.
And how about you guys? What have you done lately for preps, Cam and Kobe?
That's a good question. I've been working on building up my freezer stuff, my freezer food. That's something that's I've sort of let go for a while, so I've been building that up. We just recently did an episode today. Actually, we were talking about kind of like an extended EDC stuff, EDC kit. And so I've kind of been working on blending my extended EDC into kind of a get home bag / EDC. So I've been just thinking on it and trying to figure that out. So that's what I've been doing.
Yeah.
Super exciting.
Mine's like organizing. I feel like I have stuff everywhere. I want to have stuff more organized, and then it just keeps getting more and more unorganized, you know. It's like, ugh, that's my thing, and that seems like it's been going the same plan I've had for several years.
Yeah,
gotta take it apart before it can go back together, though.
Yeah.
I it's a pre-inventory. Absolutely. Pre-inventory, and then it can be stored,
right.
Yeah. Yes, entropy.
Exactly,
never stops.
I listened to your guys' podcast today. I had a long drive.
Oh, and nice.
I quite enjoyed it, and thank you. While I agree you have, you know, you can have a get home bag or an everyday carry bag, if you're out somewhere and things go horribly awry, whatever you got's whatever you got. So your everyday extended carry is what you're going to have to get home with. So
exactly.
You know, maybe I don't have hiking boots in it, but
yeah,
exactly. Whatever you have is what you have. That's kind of the,
that's true.
It is funny, because we think we talked about that. It's like sometimes as preppers, we're like, oh, no, this is a get-home bag, so you can't have this. And, oh, no, this is a bug-out bag, so this needs this. Like, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's all gear in the end. So if it's working for you at the time, and if it's working in that emergency, then, hell, who gives a crap? It's good gear. It doesn't matter what you call the kit, right?
Yep. We don't necessarily need to get too far into labels.
Yeah.
And for myself, I've done absolutely nothing. I broke my ankle on Thursday or on Saturday. So I've been in a boot cast and hobbling around and basically just surviving. Of course, my wife's been traveling for work as well. So I'm quite literally alone and have to do everything myself, which is well, I don't like doing things myself anyways. And then being forced to and being forced to do it while hobbling is a little bit little rough. But it has been a great test of my preparedness activities in that I can't drive because it was my right foot. So if I don't have it, I can't get it. And so far, I want for nothing, which is a good, good 72. Well, I guess we're in hour 96 now, wow. Like a 96 hour test of what I have on hand. So
if you want to make it a more thorough test, I can come over and like pull your electric meter and turn off your gas. And,
Well, we've got thunderstorms moving in, so there's a good chance I'm going to lose my power anyways.
Oh, I love thunderstorms.
Oh, I do too. We've had I've had three power outages in 3 weeks here. We had a tornado blow through 3 weekends ago. Missed my house by about a mile and a half and flattened some power lines. We were out for about 40 hours.
Wow.
Three weeks in a row, three thunderstorms, three power outages. And this is May. We usually don't – well, I guess it's June now, but we don't usually get that until – like July or August, we don't usually see that kind of weather activity. So the fact that it's happening now is indicative maybe of how our summer's going to go.
At least it wasn't blood rain.
At least it wasn't blood rain. Again,
look on the bright side. Look on the bright side.
Yep. It's that's
across the
sea. Yeah. Blood rain. That's I'm gonna remember that because that's
you'll know it when you see it.
Yeah. As long as it's not my blood.
Yeah, I guess.
If that's the case, you're doing it wrong.
It's funny with thunderstorms and stuff. I'm always like, come on, power, go out. I want to see how well. And then it goes out, and you're like, crap. This isn't as fun as I thought.
Now I actually have to go do all that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that was kind of what happened when so I'm a volunteer firefighter here, and we power went out, and about 3 minutes later, I got my pager went off, and I had to go running, and I was gone for 6 or 7 hours. So it was really on my wife with the kids home and some of their friends over to kind of keep things rolling. So it was a really good test of
prepared.
Does the generator start reasonably without having to really know how to start a generator, and can we run do the cords reach where we want them to reach so that we can keep the keep the generator far enough away from the house that we don't have exhaust blowing in and all those good problems. So it was a great little test, and I don't wish to repeat it.
Yeah.
But now I know that I can.
Yeah. Thought you were gonna bring up carbon monoxide and hit like
I was dancing around it, and then I let it go. So Kyle, when you hear this, it was not me, and it was 11 minutes and 25 seconds.
One of the things that's on my to-do list is a very airline-style flight checklist to hook up and start up the generator so that if I'm not the one doing it, it's easier for someone else to jump in and sort of just go step one, step two, step three, and get things up and running.
I think that's a way good idea.
That's a fantastic plan.
Well,
I'm probably going to do that and laminate it because that's who I am as a person. And
that's why we're friends, because that's exactly what I'm picturing is, laminated colored paper with the step by step.
Little picture, like pictures on it with the little arrows, and this is what you should do, and this is what you should see. Yeah,
this this switch with the arrow.
My wife would still call me and say this doesn't work.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm going to Pinterest it. My wife will see it.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things we discovered is that because of the widespread damage, even our phones didn't work. So we didn't have cell access. We didn't have data access. Even if we had power, our internet wouldn't have worked because where we live is slightly left of the middle of nowhere, and we have to get our internet from an antenna on the roof that pings off the water tower the next town over, but the water tower didn't have any power, so it was like there were a lot of things that were failing there that kept us from
we were completely EMP and be like,
man, yeah, we were completely offline for 6 hours. Yep.
Canada sounds like a wonderful place.
It does sound like a wonderful place.
in the winter,
you should come visit.
I would love to. Beautiful. I've been to Canada.
Yeah, you went to
we're in Canada though, because that's like saying I've been to the U.S. but that it's such a big continent. Right?
I went to Banff, Canada. Banff once. It was beautiful.
Love Alberta. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Haven't been there yet.
I've got well,
yeah, I'd like to visit.
It's only like a 3-day drive from where I live.
Is it? Yeah.
When I lived in Seattle, I regret not going up a little further, make it up to Vancouver or something, but never did.
Well, I mean, Vancouver is, you know, the big cities are typical big cities. You know, that's just how it goes. And
windows and buildings.
Yeah, that's it. The big cities in Canada are no different from the big cities in the US that I've been to. I mean, I'm about 2 hours from Detroit, so I hop over there on a quasi-regular basis.
That's a nice place.
I love Detroit. They've got hockey, and they've got baseball, and they've got the place where, you know, RoboCop was filmed.
It's right under the bridge.
RoboCop.
They actually had to tidy it up for RoboCop.
Let's paint a bunch of stuff. Let's make it look nice.
So it's I've made it back from Detroit, and that's the important part. I consider that a success.
You survive anything.
But like Detroit and Toronto are not that different, you know, in practical
opposite. Really?
Yep. They're both about 2 hours away. They both have a lot of glass, a lot of buildings, and a lot of people asking for money.
Wow.
Beyond that, it's a slightly different accent, and that's
how this place sucks. I'm gonna go up to Toronto.
Yeah.
Toronto sucks. I'm going down to Detroit.
Well, where I live is
back and forth.
I can get up here. Like Detroit, Toronto, and Buffalo are all kind of, you know, equidistant to me. So
Buffalo's probably a little different though, right?
Yeah, I've never actually been into Buffalo. I go near it, but I cross at Niagara Falls, and there's a lot of snow. The bills are like right there. They're not far off the. Off the highway, but it's not right into the town. So
sport's called football.
For football. That's the ones. Actual football.
There are other sports.
Yeah. And you know, that's one of the, you know, those subtle differences, right? Like I was at a Tennessee Titans game in Nashville a few years ago, and there's like 90,000 people there, and you can't, you know, if you're up in the nosebleeds, you can't even see the field. Mm-hmm. A really big, well-packed, you know, hockey arena will hold maybe 10,000 people or 20,000 people.
If it's So it's like more intimate.
It's way more intimate. Like you can hear the guys on the field swearing at each other, on the ice swearing at each other, compared to, you know, you have no idea who's actually on the field at any given moment. And it's I think that's probably a population difference, right? Because, you know, Canada's second largest landmass, but we have, you know, under 40 million people in the country. So, we're really, really spread out. Like our population density is nothing by comparison, right? Whereas you've got like 400 million Americans that are, you know, all sitting on top of each other.
Wait a minute. That's true. Yeah. It's too crowded.
And like our biggest city, right? Toronto is the biggest city in Canada. And the greater Toronto area, including like all the municipalities around it, is like 7 million people.
Wow.
Right, which is nothing compared to like the island of Manhattan being 12 million. Mm-hmm. Fun fact, the New York City Police Department is bigger. Just the New York City Police Department is bigger than the entire Canadian military.
Wow. The whole military?
The entire Canadian military.
My God.
Yeah, there's something like 35,000 in the Canadian military. Wow. Like all three branches. And the New York City Police Department was like, when I just at like just post 9/11 was like 42,000 people or something.
Wow.
That's crazy. You know, the West Edmonton Mall, the biggest, you know, biggest mall in Canada, the West Edmonton Mall, it's you know, still half the size of like, what is it, the Mall of America? Where is that in
it's in Minnesota somewhere.
Minnesota, yeah. So the West Edmonton Mall has a water park in the middle. It's that level of big. Has three submarines in the mall. That's how big it is. The Canadian military,
one's not enough.
No, the Canadian military has two submarines. There's one on each coast.
Submarines are very small.
Yes. But there's still three of them compared to two.
Yes, there is still three of them, but they are very small. Oh,
that's crazy. It's no wonder you guys are so nice to everybody.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You got it.
But there's also no, there's all, there sorry, are, sorry, also aren't riots in the street saying Canada is Satan, you know?
That's true.
That's right. Canada. Nobody says that. Like, yeah. Oh, hey, those guys are pretty all right. We like them.
Yeah.
We say sorry a lot and offer up our syrup to the world and everything.
Exactly.
You know, you sort of hear about people traveling and they find a Canadian flag put on their backpack, so they get mistaken for Canadians.
there's a long running theory. You can tell when Americans have put Canadian flags on their backpacks because they're so much bigger than the flags that Canadians use. Like usually when we put a flag on our pack, it's pretty small. But when Americans put the Canadian flag on their pack, it's like it's huge.
The whole pack.
It's like the whole pack. And they're So there's you know, the subtle differences. So I didn't prepare a whole ton of like interview type questions for you guys, but I did want to ask, because we're both, you know, we're all podcasters here. What's something you've learned over, was it like 157 episodes or something and a whole bunch of mindless banters? And what have you learned?
I just saw today we have 250 total episodes. We just
250
got.
Total.
Do we really?
Yeah. Just did that. Wow. Pretty crazy.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. Yeah. Good, what have we learned? Guys. Oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
Thanks.
Yeah. What have we learned, Cam, over 250 episodes? I mean, I think several things. One thing is that there's a lot of experts out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just waiting to correct you on anything you say. So that's one of the things I've learned and I've come to just love, you know. As far as prepping goes, I think I've kind of learned that, you know, prepping doesn't have to be done any one certain way. A lot of people kind of think it does, like this is the correct way to prep. But
there's a definition, like
yes,
exact definition mm-hmm. of prepping.
But you know, I've kind of come to the point where it's like, you know, it's very individualistic. Like it is kind of a personal thing with prepping. You kind of do it the way that makes sense for you. So that's one of the things that I think after a while I've kind of evolved into that. You know, and then you're just not going to please everyone. That's the last thing I've learned. And you got to learn to kind of come to grips with that and just do. And I think that's kind of when we finally started to actually catch some momentum, is when we decided we're not going to care about what anybody says. We're just going to get on the mics. We're going to do our thing, and who cares? And so those are the few things that I've learned.
Fantastic. Just throw caution to the wind and this is us. And if you don't like it, then there are 400 other prepping
podcasts. Those are good lessons.
Yeah.
Those are definitely good lessons. Like, who cares what anybody else thinks? You do you. I'm going to do me. Yes. I see you on the road. Hey, how's it going?
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, you're not wrong. I'm not wrong. We're just kind of doing our thing. We all do it a little bit differently. And that's our thing, is like, man, we don't care how you prep or how you want to prep or what you want to talk about with prepping. We want you all to kind of be involved in the discussion, you know, because I think everybody's got something to teach everybody. Everybody's got something to learn from somebody else. So that's kind of our biggest thing. Oh, and then also just like, have fun with this, man. This is a lot of this stuff we talk about so much is so serious, right? Like I already love what you guys are doing because you guys are having fun. You're joking around with it. A lot of times you get to prepper media, you know, YouTube, and they're just so damn serious all the time. Everything is like, we're all going to die. So we got to do this so we all don't die, right? And, you know, have fun with this because it's something that if you're going to keep doing what you're doing and prepping, you've got to enjoy it. And so that's.
We all have worries about it, but
yeah,
it's just like, enjoy the things that you can do and control. Yeah. So,
sure. Well, that's great. I mean, you're never going to get out alive anyway, so you might as well have fun with the process.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There was one of your podcasts where one of the listeners made reference to a different Canadian prepper. Yeah. Talking about sort of that exact doom and gloom craziness.
Yeah. I didn't bring it up. You did.
Well, no, that's fine. I just want to sort of, you know, that's not us. We're the same happy, happy-go-lucky.
That's fantastic.
You know, we sort of make fun of ourselves because, saves everyone else the trouble of doing it.
I think it's the right approach, honestly. I really do. And after I just said there's no right approach, I feel like it's a better approach for me and for Cam anyways. You know, you get too serious. It just, I don't know.
Never stresses you out.
Yeah, you get stressed out. Like for me, prepping is an anxiety relief and I want it to continue to be that way. But for some people, they get so serious and they get so worried about every tiny little thing that's happening in the news that it kind of takes them down that doom and gloom spiral. And then they go to those clickbaity things on YouTube and it's like never ending. It's like every video is, we're all going to die. You better watch this because we're all dead in like 15 minutes, right? Every single video is like that.
Yeah.
And so I don't want it to be that way. I want it to be like, I'm excited to listen to whatever topic this is today. I'm excited to learn about it. This is fun. And during this process, we're going to get a little more prepared for something that might happen. Exactly. You know?
Well, I mean, a while ago, I got super, super burnt out, and I knew I was getting burnt out of prepping because I watched the movie Don't Look Up, and all of a sudden, I'm worried about asteroids. I'm like, okay, let's be practical.
Yeah.
That's not something I can prepare for. No, it doesn't matter how many trampolines I put out on the lawn.
Scott, Canadian Tire 2 weeks ago had a big sale on trampolines. I totally walked by it. I laughed my ass off. My wife says, what's so funny? Inside joke.
I stocked up on trampolines. They were on sale.
Yeah, I go in and out of like the worry, you know, there'll be times I'm like, man, I don't have enough water and food. And then it's like slowly, well, I'll be putting a little bit more together. And then I jump off from that, you know, the worry goes away and I'm like, oh, I'm good. And I think to steer like clear of the doom and gloom, like you said, really, it's not going to drive you anywhere.
Yeah,
it's not going to put you in a better situation than if you're just like, I am worried, I'll get a little bit, and then it just kind of calms down and in and out of that.
Well, that prepper burnout thing is real, man. That's for sure. Like so real.
I think I'd burn out way more if I was terrified.
I think that leads to it more often. So I think kind of keeping that lightheartedness as you're doing it. But also, I mean, it's serious. It's serious things that we're doing. We're actually really preparing for things. But yeah, just not getting into
it. It may get you into it.
Yeah,
like quick, but the longevity is not going to stick. Like you're just like, oh, no.
Or you turn into, you know, the doomsday prepper guy that nobody wants to hang around because, you know what I mean?
Like, did nothing for us.
No, that didn't help a whole lot.
It didn't,
right? It was entertainment. I mean, that's all it was when it comes down to it. But those people didn't necessarily help more people come into the preparedness community in a way that was really a good thing.
Well, and we had a big windstorm come through here. A couple of weeks ago, and there were 60 or 80,000 people that still didn't have power a week after the fact.
Wow.
So we kind of pivoted gears and said, hey, let's do a back to basics episode to just talk about generators, because obviously that's going to be a really popular topic right now.
For sure.
You know, we've done episodes where we've talked about sort of our origin stories when we've started thinking this way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so we just as a service to the world as a whole, if we sort of put out some good information or not terrible information, I guess, you know, that makes the world a better place. The nice thing is it's not a competition. If my neighbor has a kick-ass generator and an amazing garden and a huge food supply, that's better for both of us.
Yeah, it only helps you.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know,
I always say that.
It's like being chased in the woods by a bear, right? Where you're with your best friend and he looks over and says, you think we can outrun him? And you say to your friend, I don't have to outrun him. I just have to outrun you.
Yeah.
if my neighbor's really well prepared, I don't really have to worry about it, do I?
Well, that's the thing Cam and I are always talking about. That's part of the reason why we do this. You know, the more people we can get into prepping, the better it is for everybody around that person, you know? So that's half the reason we do.
Yeah.
Like, and that's kind of how it started, right? Like we're, you know, our podcast was started by, you know, another first responder and, mm-hmm. We have, you know, our like Emergency Management Canada is a ministry within the government that wants every Canadian to be ready to be self-sustainable for 72 hours.
Mm-hmm.
If not longer. It's
if not longer, right? But if you start at 72 hours, if you think you're ready for 72 hours, right, for 3 days, then realistically you could stretch that out to a week if you really had to. It might not be pleasant, but you could. And so, you know, if the government is telling you that this is a good idea and reality is telling you this is a good idea, and usually when the government says something, you want to do the opposite, but even a broken clock is right twice a day. Yeah. And hey, help is coming. We just got to bridge the gap. And I think that's the thing that we've always kind of focused on is bridging the gap until kind of normalcy returns.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. And it's way more fun that way. I get to buy all the cool toys and I actually get to use them and play with them rather than just put them away and hope I get to use them or hope I don't get to use them at some point. But it's,
that's half the fun, man, of prepping is all the fun gear you get to play with, man. You know?
So I know one of the things you guys talk a lot about is BattleBox.
Yeah.
And I don't want this to necessarily become an ad for BattleBox because we can't get it in Canada at any kind of
actually practical. I think they just got Canadian shipping.
Yeah. I was going to qualify that with any kind of practical application.
Okay.
Because okay. So one of the realities of being Canadian is that we have a tenth of the buying power of Americans. So things are already more expensive.
Sure.
Shipping across the border is painful.
Like, yeah.
Horrifically painful.
So, crazy.
So although I could order it, I'd be spending double what you would.
Yeah, that's tough.
And then the 30% exchange on top of that. So, mm-hmm. I'm sure it is doable, and I'm sure there are people out there that would. And, but I know, and I'm jealous that you guys get your battle boxes. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite piece of kit that's come out of being a casual prepper?
Wow.
It, like from BattleBox specifically?
Well, not necessarily from BattleBox specifically, but just kind of in general. I mean, if you want to shout out BattleBox, that's cool. But if not, I know you guys get a lot of gear as part of your journey. And what's like if you had like one thing that you could keep, what would it be?
For me, the one thing I always come back to, I really love the BioLite makes some really great gear, a lot of solar, really great solar gear, but they have the BioLite Solar Home 620. It's such a fantastic setup. So basically it has, how many lights does it come with? Do you remember?
It has three lights.
Three lights plus the
base unit.
Yeah, so it's a base unit. It has really long cables for all of these lights. They all have switches that you can kind of mount on the wall. And it has a solar panel. How much is that sucker? Do you remember, like $200 or something?
It is now, yeah.
Yeah, like $200.
It was like $169.
Yeah. And just for me, you know, if power goes out for more than a day or two,
$300 Canadian.
Yeah,
I was gonna say $450 maybe get it here.
$450 by the time you get it. Yeah. So, anyways, that thing has been really fantastic. It's one of my favorite preps that I have. Just a really simple lighting system for, you know, a power outage, long term power outage, that you can keep the lights on in the house, you know, for relatively cheap, and it's really really simple to set up. So I like it.
Yeah. No, that's great. We've gotten so much gear. That's so hard.
It's a hard one to answer.
Super
yeah.
hard.
I'm going for the tough questions here, guys.
I know.
That is a tough question.
Hard hitting.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say a piece of gear that I probably never would have bought on my own that I always take with me camping it's an outdoor edge bone saw. And I mean, I've used it for everything. Cutting PVC, mm-hmm. cutting like obviously wood branches. I've used it around the yard. I've used it in the garden. Like, it's crazy how useful like a tool like that is. And if I'd have to say that's something we receive, this is in a battle box, and mm-hmm. I take it with me everywhere.
Yeah,
not to work, but
well, and then like something like a Leatherman Skeletool. It's something that I use so often that I kind of have to put up there. It's like one of my favorite EDC items. I carry it with me probably half of the time.
Yeah.
I would probably carry it with me more, but I have so many damn knives that I want to, you know, switch them out and right. try them all. So the Leatherman Skeletool is a fantastic little EDC item that I think everybody should have one.
Yeah. I think
so just,
go ahead.
Your BioLite 620?
Yeah. BioLite Solar Home 620.
Yeah, on Amazon, mm-hmm. from a Canadian website, Amazon, $477.80.
Mm-hmm. What?
And then add 13%
no shipping
tax
yet.
On top
$477.80.
Wow! I know they became like sold out and everything from.
Yeah.
So that might have jacked it up.
Yeah,
even
could have changed it. Yep. Probably COVID.
Wow.
Messed it all
yeah,
up.
Yeah, there's my site here says there's six in stock. That's wow. it.
Yeah, they were pretty popular.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
And if there was a piece of kit that you got and you thought was cool but turned out to be completely useless and you would never use again, like something that we could just completely avoid.
What's that one fire starter that we get all the time?
Oh, the Instafire?
Was it Instafire? It's garbage, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it Instafire?
Instafire is not my – is it Instafire?
I can't remember.
We've used so
probably
many freaking fire starters. I think it's Instafire. Let me all see right. if I can look it up. I don't know.
God, I'm trying to think of a piece of, you know, I'd have to say some of the like GPS equipment and stuff I never really used. I don't know.
Yeah, Instafire is a fire starter that's actually really, really popular here. But
there's so like all I felt like everyone that we've had besides is better.
There's just so many other good options that I wouldn't go for it.
All right.
That was a bust.
It was a bust. How about you guys? Is there something you guys have used that have been horrible?
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I wasn't prepared to answer questions. I was prepared to ask questions.
Ah, the tables are turned.
No, I got a gift, and it was something that I was told to try because it was going to be really cool. And it was a multi-tool that was designed specifically for locksmiths. That's my trade. I'm a locksmith by trade. Designed specifically for locksmiths, which just means that it has like a number two Phillips screwdriver on it and a couple of flat blades and just a little pokey thing that has a specific name, but everybody in the world just calls it a pokey thing. Yeah. And it was a great concept, but really, really poor execution.
Yeah.
Had nothing specifically to do with the podcast. Just that was a thing that was given to me. And it goes back to using, you know, investing in quality gear, right? Like that Leatherman. I've had a Leatherman that's gone in my tool bag. I've had it for easily 25 years.
Yep.
And it's still as functional as the day I got it. And you know, the blade's a little worn down because I keep resharpening it and using it. But otherwise it is it does exactly what I need it to, as opposed to something else that was designed to be specific and a little bit novelty. And it's it was, you know, excellent concept, but not a great execution.
Yeah. Some of those gimmicky things just don't work out.
No, they don't.
I learned long ago, you buy good tools the first time rather than buying the crappy tool, you know, getting frustrated by it, throwing it out, and still having to go buy the good tool. You know, I had a great little flashlight that sort of mounted on your chest and points down. So, but it was this plasticky thing, and it took absolutely nothing to get smashed. Whereas, you know, you have a nice sort of aluminum metal body flashlight, and you can drive a tank over it, and it's going to go just fine. So yeah, I see value in buying good gear the first time.
Right.
See, Al, I'm opposite of you. You have a Leatherman, I have a Gerber that I've had.
I've never had a Gerber that I liked.
This one I got for free from somebody in trade shows. He was leaving the trade shows when I was coming into them. And he gave me his Gerber multi-tool, and it was the flick. It slides out the end, and
locked.
All of the different things lock open on it, and I can still operate it to this day with one hand, and it still works very, very well. I've had two Leathermans, and I didn't like them.
Well, yeah, I've got a Gerber and I have a SOG multi-tool.
I actually have the Gerber in my bag right now. You know, I'd have to say one of the biggest busts is the SOG baton.
Yeah.
I kind of hate it. Have you ever used one of those?
Like the S1 baton?
Is it sort of an ASP style?
It's like it's the little needle nose type pliers kind of slide out. But if you put... It slides out and then it breaks in half and it like works like a regular set of pliers. But like if you put any pressure, it wants to slide back into the handle. It's just super annoying.
Was that the S1 baton, right?
I had the S3.
The S3. Okay.
Yeah. S1, S2, S3. I don't know what the difference is.
I don't know either.
One will pinch your fingers. The other one
will pinch two fingers. The other one will pinch three fingers. Three fingers.
But yeah, you learn that stuff and you learn what you were going to take into the wilderness or put in your bug out bag by using these different little tools. So,
and it's one of the things we talk about a lot is check, like test your kit, use your gear.
You really do need to.
Like you gotta, it's one thing to, you know, to take something and you buy it and you throw it in a bag and you hope that you can use it when the time comes. And it's quite another thing to actually go out and play with your toys. And
man, it totally is. We, I don't know if you guys have seen this yet, but we did a kind of a separate limited kind of episode podcast we put out this year called Bugging Out. And as part of that, we actually, Cam and I went on like an overnight bug out, kind of in a simulated bug out. And we took our audio recorders along and kind of talked about the process. But going through that whole process of actually bugging out into the wilderness and setting up camp and all of those things, boy, you see where your deficiencies are. You see what type of gear isn't working. You see what type of gear is working. So I think it's a real, that's exactly what I think you should do as well, is you actually need to get out and use this stuff and actually implement your plan in some way where you see what goes right
find
and what
all
goes
the holes
wrong.
And find yeah. all the...
absolutely.
Is that on your Spotify?
It's on Spotify. It's on iTunes. It's everywhere. It's just called Bugging Out. It's basically, it's a 5-episode. It's way different than what Casual Preppers is. This is like a really kind of highly produced thing. It has music beds and it has voiceover and sound effects. And we've done, we did this simulated bug out and we
it's
had
not
some
as
interviews.
Lighthearted as our other yeah. stuff, but it's a little more, it's better instructional or
yeah. It's kind of a deep dive into bugging out and all the things kind of that entails. We talk about bug out bags and bug out vehicles and things like that.
Blood rain into
blood
the world.
Rain, yeah, all those.
We don't talk about that stuff.
But nope. Yeah, like I said, as part of that, it was us actually going out and implementing a bug out plan and using our gear. So it was pretty eye opening.
Very cool. And so what did you learn from that? Is that was you obviously took some lessons away.
Yeah. Well, the biggest thing was the funny thing. It hardly ever rains here where we're at. We're kind of in a mountain desert. And literally the day we went to go do this, it just poured. I mean, just like, absolutely poured. And so
the spot we go to was like, it was just coming down like a yeah. waterfall, like the road.
That was the biggest thing. You're making your plans. And did you think about this weather? Did you think about, you know, something like that happening that you have no control over? And so that made me rethink a few things in my bug out bag.
We had rain gear stuff, but we still got wet. Like, yeah. If you're really,
that was a big lesson for sure.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think there was a couple other little things like with some of the food we took and
cooking's always tricky. Like you learn what's efficient to cook with and mm-hmm. pot stoves and like we had, what's that? Teg stove.
Teg stove. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I think that's what I always have. Like an eye opener of how to prepare food is always a lot trickier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, and that's kind of the old rule, right? An army marches on its stomach. If you can't keep the troops fed, nothing much else matters.
Yeah.
So yep. We all get pretty cranky when we get hungry and tired, and then you throw a stressful yep. incident on top of that, and that's
in a terrible I think food.
Yeah, if you're throwing terrible food on top of that, I think
this tastes like garbage. I'm not motivated.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just not motivated to do anything because what's the point? You know, at least if I go somewhere else, if I do something else, then I get the good stuff. But if I'm stuck here doing this, then who cares?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Maybe that's just the fact of me talking, but the motivational aspect of you know, a little handful of Oreos is probably a lot more to give credit for.
Oh, absolutely, man.
All I need to give you is Oreos?
Pretty much.
Your food supplies over there.
I'll do pretty much anything for good cookies, you know?
Wow.
So no Klondike bar, right?
Oh, that's a different question entirely. I'm much more about the drumsticks than the Klondike bar, but
yeah.
I agree. Point.
If we're in a place where ice cream is an option, things are not that bad.
Yeah.
That's true.
I'll
yeah.
agree with that. Completely.
Right. That's well above FEMA's IHOP scale, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's the Waffle House scale.
Yeah, I was gonna say the Waffle House, not IHOP. Yeah, Waffle House.
We're well above the Waffle House scale there. Mm-hmm. If we've still got ice cream at home.
You guys have done a whole ton of episodes. You know, sometimes mindless banter gets a little off topic, but I mean, it's always
random.
Yep. That's why it's mindless.
Well, exactly. I mean, in terms of your whole catalog of episodes, what are some of your guys' favorite episodes, either for funny or educational or learn something completely different? Like, what are some that kind of stick out from that collection for you guys?
Yeah, one specifically kind of always sticks. Well, a couple of them do, but one, we did an episode called Civil Defense.
Yeah, that one's cool.
I love that. That was really, really fun. So we kind of went back over old, you know, in the United States, the whole civil defense thing, and we went back over the history of it and how it started and where it went throughout the years. That was actually a really, really fun episode to do. And we played a bunch of old audio from all those civil defense films and the radio spots and things that they showed. So that one to me was, it was just fun. Something about it was,
it was
just
like a history.
Yeah.
Like you learned a lot of history and it applied to prepping and
yeah,
survival and stuff.
So that one was really, really fun for me. And then the other one I always come back to when somebody asks me, well, which one should I listen to? And I probably need to go back and listen to it because it's been so long, but the concept of it is something that I think it really resonates with me, and that it was called Your Personal Apocalypse. So basically that's kind of our, the way we look at prepping is always being ready for your personal apocalypse. It's not like this huge blood rain over the entire world type apocalypse. It's something that's happening in your life. And that those are the things that you should really be preparing for, which is, you know, job loss or a medical emergency or your car breaking down or the power going out in your neighborhood. Like those are the things that like always happen to everybody at some point in their life. So those are the really important things to kind of be ready for as a prepper. So those are the two that kind of stand out for me.
Usually. Yeah, that's funny because when people ask me, I'm like, oh, go listen to our Surviving Aliens.
Oh, yeah, Surviving
like, Aliens. It's like so way out there, but it was fun. Like I had a ton of fun doing that one, and we were dying just of the things that you can find online that people are like pretty dead serious about. Like yeah. That was a fun one.
Mindless banters do get
fun. I liked the nuclear episode just because like I didn't understand much about how the plants worked and what the risks were, and so I learned a lot, so I had fun with that one.
The nuclear meltdown
episode. Nuclear meltdown. Yeah. Like surviving a nuclear meltdown, yeah.
Can I put you guys on the spot for a quick and dirty medical tip? And then I'm gonna ask Scott, who's a paramedic, to do the same thing.
Oh hell. Yeah. I don't have to worry about it, so it's gonna be Cam.
Yeah,
put him on the spot. That's a good idea.
Yeah, go ahead, Scott.
All right. So when you have a serious bleed and you're putting on a tourniquet, you are not putting it on tight enough. Quick and dirty tip. Crank it down until it is incredibly uncomfortable. Give it a second, and then you need two more cranks because once that muscle starts relaxing, all of a sudden the pressure you've just built up is going to be less, and it actually takes a couple more cranks to keep it up at that sort of high level stop arterial bleeding pressures. So
that's a good one.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's a good one. I don't know. Speaking of that, like I don't know how information kind of got out there that tourniquets do more harm than good, because you know they did a study showing that there wasn't as much tissue damage. I mean, you're gonna bleed out. Like, it's just, anyways. So I think that's a great tip. Mine would probably be, God, I don't know. Yeah, man, there's so many different ones. I don't even know where to go with that. It's just so much, so many options. Yeah. One thing. What? Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say it's so interesting how stuff finds its way into sort of medical folklore that, oh yeah, tourniquet's bad, your leg's going to go gangrenous and fall off.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, shining a pen light in their eye is going to cause an epileptic seizure. And, you know, you sort of see these things.
All these, like, yeah, life-saving things don't happen because people are too paranoid.
Well, but it's so interesting looking at medical education.
Yeah.
And at one point, I was training a group of first responders, and we were doing like a splinting station. So like we had all our splinting gear there. We didn't sort of have everything else. So, you know, in the scenario, it's like, okay, all right, we're going to do a set of vital signs. And I put my two hands around the patient's bicep. I made the sound of a blood pressure cuff going, all right, 120 on 80. Good. Let's keep going and splint. Didn't think a thing of it. You know, I sort of thought everyone understood, like I'm just mimicking what we would do with a blood pressure cuff.
Until
during the exam, I watched someone, you know, sort of reach their arms around, squeeze the biceps and say, yep, the pressure's 120 on 80.
Oh my God.
And it was such an educational moment for me as an educator to sort of see, like, as an educator, you know, having to convey my intended message obviously did not get across in that moment because, so it's very interesting that way. So when you look at how little stupid things sort of become medical folklore and you start backtracking and no one has any idea where it came from because, you know, in some first aid class somewhere, you know, someone did a silly thing and it just, you know, spread virally. So,
yeah.
It's
that's great. It's true. It happens. It's crazy how much of that distorts people's thinking.
Well, yeah. I think that's something that happens in every field overall, right? Like we've seen that, you know, things that we believe to be true until you actually go out and try it, and then it doesn't work, and then you go, well, wait a second, where did I learn that? Where did that actually come from? And you heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from a guy who swears he saw it happen. And yeah, now all of a sudden we're up armoring our vehicles against Bigfoot attacks in the Pacific Northwest. And
that you should be doing that.
Well, obviously.
I mean, I'm not saying it's wrong to up arm your vehicle against Bigfoot attack, but I'm saying the likelihood's probably pretty low.
Yeah. But, I mean, just sort of going off your point, Alan, even medically, you sort of go back in literature and you look at stuff that, you know, we take as absolute fact, and you dial it back and like, yeah, we give epi during cardiac arrests because that's what they did in a dog study in the 60s, and we've just kind of kept doing it, like,
yeah, so like normal saline for massive trauma, right?
Well, if that's what we have, that's what we have. NACL is a wonderful drug.
NACL.
Yes. What is this drug?
Sodium chloride.
Normal saline is salt water. Is it's
good. It's good for cooking pasta and keeping blood pressure up.
Starting IVs, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, and there are some things that maybe we could go back to. You know, things that worked well in the past. I mean, we used to give cocaine for a lot of things as a treatment, and I for one am on board with returning to those ways.
It's still used, just not as much.
And not
I hear ENTs using a fair bit.
You can, yeah, actually.
I've heard this. Yeah.
We don't have any in clinic. Somebody took it all.
Somebody took it all. We did, and then we went to the inventory and we were all out. How to use it. I swear, boss, it's a clinical study. I promise this is going to be peer reviewed. There's like four guys waiting to review it with me. So.
In terms of, okay, so we asked, you know, what some of your favorite episodes were. You very much enjoy some of the internet trolls coming back on you and sort of being experts on whatnot, whatever. What are some of the biggest curveballs that have been thrown at you or thrown back at you during your podcast history?
Curveballs. As far as like internet trolls coming back at us?
Internet trolls or topics that just didn't end up going well, or...
Oh, well, it's always guns. I mean, always. Guns. There are so many experts on guns, and like Cam and I, we've got guns, we use guns, but like we don't make guns our prepping, right? There's so many people, especially in the United States, obviously, that when they prep, it means they're going out and getting ammo. That's their prepping, right? And
tons of them. Using tons of money.
Yeah.
And just so, buying ammo. So, I have a brother-in-law that's that way.
Yeah, we just aren't experts in guns. And we've done several episodes where we have discussed them, at length. And that's usually when starts coming back at us. Guns, and then also bug out vehicles is another one that really, there's so many experts on automobiles that those two. We honestly avoid.
If it's not a 1977 Dodge Tradesman, you're wrong.
Yeah, we avoid those, to be honest with you, because it's not worth it. It's just not worth the emails and messages and DMs.
Right. So probably the third most thing has been somebody criticizing some aspect on medicine.
You know? Yeah.
It's like I'll hurry and do like a video just showing like maybe like a suture one real basic, and somebody will chime in, you know, you didn't load the needle right, or yeah, you're not going to do that when it's this kind of laceration. I'm like, that's not the point. Like,
horrible aseptic technique.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, it's a video. I'm stitching up
a banana. What the?
Yeah. But then again, it comes down to your point. It's like, I saw him stitch up a banana. Then I can, like, maybe you should be using every little bit of detail, or they're just going to start doing things the wrong way.
Yeah.
There's always a critic on those, like, everybody's a far better expert in the same field.
Yeah, and the thing is, we've never in any of these episodes said that we're an expert at anything,
right?
Ever. And that's the whole point of our podcast, is that we aren't experts. We're casual
denotion. Yeah. In the name, right?
Like, you know, they forget that.
And we're really good at going out and finding information. And obviously we've learned a lot over 6 years of doing this, but our whole thing is we're gathering a whole bunch of information. We're bringing it back and we're kind of giving it to you in an entertaining format. Like, here you go, right? This is it. We're not the experts.
Really? If I'm learning how to suture from a YouTube video, then like I'm already in a really bad spot. Yeah, if I screw it up, that's really more on me than on anybody else.
Well, right, at least you still have internet at that point.
Yeah.
Can't be that bad. Very good point, Scott. Very good point.
No, that's why I have to learn ahead of time.
Right. I have a very important question for you guys. Right. What is your opinion on wood gasifiers in prepping? I realize this is probably beyond the casual scope, but it's
on what? What was it?
Wood gasifiers. I think it's very, very important, and I think we should all be talking about it pretty much every episode.
We were thinking we were going to do a spin-off series that's exclusively wood gasifiers. So, I mean, if you guys are interested in coming on, we'll have you on here.
I would like, we're definitely, like, that's right up our alley. So you want us on there.
Yeah, there aren't a lot of commercial manufacturers of wood gasifiers out there. There's books, which you pretty much have to build your own. And
I
trust you guys with welding sticks. I'd go just fine.
I've welded once or twice. We'll figure it out. Cam was raised on a farm. He can do pretty much anything.
None of it's correct,
but he can get it.
But it all works.
In the end, that's what really matters. Does it accomplish the goal?
Does it function the way that? Yeah. Does it serve its purpose?
You want a fancy fix? Don't ask him.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It's not gonna.
I don't
want
to look
fix.
Pretty. I just want it to work.
My dad's. Yeah. My dad. That's everything. It's not fancy.
No.
Well, guys, we've been recording for getting close to an hour here. I can see the next storm coming through, and I'm about to lose my internet connection. So,
makes sense.
If it's all right with you guys, perhaps we can move into our weekly podcast challenge.
Whatever that is, it sounds fun. I don't know. Let's do it.
In our podcast challenge, we usually challenge our listeners to accomplish a goal, usually based on something that we've talked about in the episode, and then share with us what they've done and how they've accomplished that goal. So in some cases, it's you know, do an inventory of your preps, or one of my big things, especially for new preppers, is do a risk analysis and what's actually going to happen to you, and then base your preps on that, or you know, build gasifier and show us how you did that, right, or whatever it may be. And I think a good challenge for this podcast is to find some Tashanka and then prepare it in at least two different ways. And because, you know, I like random movie references, you try it with a nice Chianti. See how it goes.
Yes. It's really the best with eggs, like scrambled eggs and Tashanka. Yeah. Okay. And then you have to have hot sauce. You have to have some Cholula on there.
I have a feeling that Tashanka is going to be difficult to obtain right now.
Yeah, it's probably not easy to find. Yeah,
I would imagine.
Kind of think it's being utilized.
Being hoarded. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then that just adds to the challenge.
I like
that
it.
That does add to the challenge.
Get some Tashanka.
Just getting it.
So that's our challenge. Also in the challenge, I did put the link to our Discord group. So we would love to have you guys join. Take a quick gander in there, and if there are topics that interest you in there, feel free to throw a note in.
Is there a wood gasifier?
There is, in fact. There's also a carbon monoxide topic. Topic thread. Like it's a very diverse. It's a diverse group there. Awesome. But we have coming up on 200 members there in the Discord channel.
That's sweet. I hope there's a new Blood Rain topic soon. That's what
I think we're gonna have there. I think we're gonna have to. So we'll
get it on.
What do you know about Blood Rain?
We'll add that, talk about Blood Rain, and hopefully that's something that stays where it's not here.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think you guys can handle it. You got all you can handle right now.
Yeah, no, I don't. I think I'm good with the stuff that we have. So we also usually talk about a deal of the week, something that we can find. Would it be okay if we throw your BattleBox code in, since BattleBox now ships to Canada, you said,
absolutely,
and
man,
approximately 50% of our listeners are not Canadian, mostly American.
Yeah, that's true.
Beautiful.
That's
yes, true. Absolutely.
Is it all right if I put that in there? And
yes.
What is that code?
Go to BattleBox.com. Use our code CASUALPREPPERS, and on your first order, you're going to get a free knife. That's a whole knife just for free. You're going to put it in your pocket, and you're going to cut stuff with it. It's going to be awesome.
Yourself, hopefully not.
Hopefully not yourself. You're going to need that tourniquet.
Then you have to practice those stitches, yeah.
Yep. Now pull that tourniquet super tight.
Yeah. Once it's tight, two more times.
The same day that I broke my ankle, I actually did stab myself in the finger with my knife.
Oh,
I've stabbed myself a million times.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've got, that's the third scar in that particular joint.
Wow.
Yeah,
just
yeah,
a I'm big, pretty, hard callus now.
It pretty much is. So that's about all we've got for tonight. Huge shout out to Cam and Kobe and Casual Preppers for coming on. We really appreciate that. This has been like I was saying before we started broadcasting, I started listening to Casual Preppers in the Canadian Prepper podcast at the same time, and ended up on one show and not the other. But it was you guys are a ton of fun. I really appreciate all the content you put out. I've learned a lot from you.
Thank you.
I know everybody that listens has, and the fact that you've been doing it for so long and you're still going strong on it is just fantastic. I was actually listening to the side benefits of prepping yesterday. I was listening to it last night while I was hobbling around trying to empty my dishwasher, which takes a really long time when you can't walk. Everything takes forever. I block my
one plate at a time.
Pretty much. Like it's kind of crazy. So with that, we'll bring this episode of the Canadian Prepper Podcast to an end. You can find the podcast on iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. You can help us out and submit a review. We'd love to hear from us. It does help other people find us. Most of the time, not tonight, but most of the time, we do record these shows live on Facebook and YouTube, so you can get an early peek at us. Hit us up on the YouTube channel, Canadian Prepper Podcast, and click that notifications tab when we're going live. If you want to reach me directly, you can get me at alan@prepperpodcast.ca. That's Alan with one L. Scott, where can we find you?
I'm not responsible enough to have my own email address, so feedback@prepperpodcast.ca works just fine.
And Brad, where can we find you?
Batbread, CPP@gmail.com.
And Cameron Kobe, is there a, what's the best way for listeners to reach out to you if they want to find you?
CasualPreppersPodcast@gmail.com.
CasualPreppersPodcast@gmail.com.
As we've been sitting here talking, guys, I've downloaded like 15 episodes of yours.
Oh, man.
Did you get the alien one?
Go get that alien episode. That's Cam's favorite.
Alien episode?
Yeah, Surviving Aliens.
It was like our Halloween episode, like one of our first.
It's an early one.
Yeah, well, we had zombies in the second year, so it was a long time ago.
And you mentioned TikTok. What's your TikTok name? Is it just
I think it's just at Casual Preppers Podcast. Hell, I don't know. Something like that. Shouldn't be hard to find.
We can find
you guys on Instagram too.
We are, yes.
Instagram, TikTok, anywhere else we can find you? I know you're on
Facebook.
Facebook, all right.
Mm-hmm.
That's still a thing.
Yeah, they still have it here.
Right. Yeah. Facebook, anywhere.
MySpace, we're on MySpace as well.
Slowly going the way of the
GeoCities. Now you're talking my language. back in my day.
So back in Scott's day, there was a specific Morse code shorthand for for Canadian preppers.
Nice.
And as always, you can also reach out to us, feedback@prepperpodcast.ca. Do check out rapidsurvival.com and you can reach Eric there. He's usually on the live chat. Until next time, thanks for joining us. Be prepared, stay safe,
and keep learning.